Blog Talk Radio.
Time with Pastor Steph.
Good morning, good morning. Rise and shine. You're all with this due time with Pastor Steph. How are you today? That's what I like to hear. That's what I like to hear. For this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. So, where were you all week? Oh, we started off the week shaking the Monday morning blues with the due time crew. And a really interesting relationship conversation. Well, we talked about the 82-year-old Alabama woman who was arrested for not paying her $77.80 trash bill. Yep. They arrested her, and they laughed at Grandma and told Grandma, listen, Miss Martha, don't cry. And, you know, she said that she was quite embarrassed, and she was glad that her grandchildren were not there because they would have been so upset. Well, this started a conversation amongst the due time crew. And how are we treating our grandmas? How are we treating the elderly, you know, and the people that really need our help? You know, are we there for them as we should be? And, you know, how can you answer that question? Well, you know, God says take care of the widows and the orphans. And as we can see, you know, they're not doing such a good job because, hey, how is it that Grandma only has a $77.80 bill, but yet her grandkids would be upset with the treatment of the cops more than they would have just gone ahead and paid that bill? Yeah. So, you know, we kind of talked to all of you and, you know, just kind of reminded you of what God wanted us to do and how God wanted us to, you know, feel about our elderly people. Yes. Okay. So that's how that relationship conversation went. Well, our switch tip for the week, number 128, don't stay caught up. Now, again, the warning is not don't get caught up, because the Bible is full of anecdotes for when we do get caught up. So what is that saying? That means that we will get caught up. So we really can't advise people not to get caught up more than we can advise you don't stay caught up. You know, there's so many things that this world, you know, has to offer us that is a distraction. You know, as I say every day, you know, don't get caught up, you know, so much, because it only serves as a distraction. You know, that's what the enemy wants. He wants to kind of throw us off our game. He wants us to be looking in the opposite direction, or we should be looking in, you know, one direction. And, you know, the best thing I love about God is he's not going to leave you there. Oh, did I just say that? Oh, he's not going to leave you there. I don't care where you get caught up, what you get caught up in. One thing I know about this God is that he will never leave you there. Because if he leaves you caught up, then how is he going to get the glory out of your life? Ah, I just love this God we serve. Yeah. You know, so come on, don't stay caught up, because, you know, no matter what goes on, like I said, no matter who it is, no matter what the caught up is, God is always going to have a ram in the bush for you, always going to have something. He's always going to throw you a lifeline, get you out. And you just going to have to be smart enough to jump, you know, onto that raft that he sent. You know, put that, you know, that little floater thing on your arms that they have, or, you know, put that thing around your waist. And for those of us whose waist is a little bit wider than others, you know how it goes down. You know, he's going to find something else to use to get us up out that water from drowning. So, you know, don't blow it. Don't blow it. Okay? Okay. Wonderful. So that's how we spent our Monday. Well, let's talk about a Tuesday church folk day rolled around. And let me cheat or I'm going to leave. Yes, we talked about the couple who, you know, who was having so many problems. You know, they've been married for 3 years, been together for 10, got 2 kids. So, you know, they know what the relationship is all about. But boy, is it toxic. And fireworks are going off all the time, and it ain't the good fireworks. Those fireworks where they're always arguing and bickering, and, you know, he feels disrespected, and she feels ignored, and you know how it goes down. Well, you know, he's ready to leave. He's out. He says, I'm out. I don't want to do this no more. And, you know, she's begging him to stay because she wants this relationship. So, you know, they catch us all the time when you're vulnerable. And there's the ultimate. If you just let me cheat just one time, then I'll stay. And boy, oh boy, oh boy, this due time crew did not take too kindly to that. Well, you're talking about three pastors who are all married. You know, I think I heard 10 years and 20 years and 15 years, you know, in a matter of minutes. And, you know, they really see the, you know, they've seen the good times, they've seen the bad times in the relationship. You know, everybody's good times ain't that good and everybody's bad times ain't that bad. But they've seen enough to be able to tell you, don't fall for the okie doke. You know, he's already out there. You know, he's already sinned. So he's already violated God's law. Don't let him violate your law. Because he's already in trouble. You better get to praying. Yeah. Don't even worry about whether he's going to leave you or not. You better start praying for your husband if he gives you that ultimatum. Because he is already in trouble with God. And who, you know, who knows? He probably didn't did the deed already in the real, you know? Because he's already in trouble with God just for the thought. Because let me tell you something. He didn't see something out there he wants. Oh, yeah, you better believe that. That ain't because he didn't see some ugly ducklings, he thinks. Nah, he didn't see something he want to put his hands on if he hasn't already done it. So, don't fall for the okey-doke, ladies. Don't fall for the okey-doke. Well, wow, Wednesday rolls around, and our girlfriend Vivian told us about the story about the 10-year-old Milwaukee boy who shot his mother in the head because he could not have something off of Amazon that he wanted, some toy, some head game or some headset or something to that effect. And he claimed he shot in the air or shot at the wall. That was a warning shot. And, you know, no, come to find out that was not a warning shot. You know, he meant to do that. He was shooting at her and just missed. Well, the second time he didn't. And the family now, you know, they're revealing a lot of things about him that some people didn't know. And at 10 years old, he's got rage issues. Yes, he was twirling around the cat at four and all kinds of things. And, you know, oh, my goodness gracious, what are we up against as parents? Well, the ladies were in the house, as you know, on a Wednesday. And we talked about reasons to give generously. Yes. Okay. And we give to increase our love for the things of God. Yeah. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Matthew 6:21, we want to make sure that we place all of our energy, all of our belongings, all of our care, all of our love, yes, in the things of God, because anything else will only serve as a distraction. Yep. What about we give because the Lord makes it a condition for his giving us further blessings. Give and it shall be given unto you, but first you got to give. Okay? Now, we're not saying you have to give to get the basics, because God is always on point. And, you know, he done threw in some of those extras already. And that was from Luke 6:38. But he's talking about in order to get special, you know, to show God that, you know, the generosity is there. And you want to please him. Yes, 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 yes. All right, so that's how we spent our Wednesday. Well, therapeutic Thursday rolled around, and oh, it was ripped from the headlines. Yes, and we talked about grandma baby shower. Yeah, grandmas need some attention too, clearly. Yeah, grandma had a huge baby shower, and they included a huge picture of her son and the mama-to-be. And but they weren't invited. No. Buffet, gifts, and all. So, you know, she was rather creeped out and thought that was kind of selfish. And so did the Two-Time Crew, by the way. Yeah. Well, what about that groom whose mom took it all the way out there and told about a story when he was 10 years old, how he gave her a rose that he unknowingly didn't realize he was giving her a song. Yeah, well, you know, is he like 30 now? You know, so let's say he's 30. So you didn't wait 20 years to advise him that that's what he was giving you or that's what he gave you? At the wedding reception? Yes! Listen, as you can see, moms ain't moms no more. Moms, you know, she just took over for the baby's mama, and she having the baby shower. She just took over for the bride and showing up to the reception with a thong that you gave her 20 years ago. What is with the moms of today? I keep telling y'all, mothers and their sons, man. Listen. It's like you just can't be warned enough from the things of life because you just don't know where it's coming from. Well, that's how we spent our Thursday. Yes, so as you can see, it's been live and popping over here on the Due Time with Pastor Steph and the Due Time crew, and we've been having a ball all week, and we didn't have one guest. No, it was just us. You know, it's just like my immediate family, you know. We don't have to invite anybody else, just me, my sister, my kids, and her kids, and it's a party automatically. You know, so it's with the dads, with the Due Time crew. We don't even need anybody from the outside for it to be on and popping. Yeah. So today, we've arrived at today by the grace of God. It's Freestyle Friday. Yes, and we get to do whatever it is we want to do. Well, we're kind of boring like that because we only talk to the men. But here's the thing. We don't ever know what's coming out from the men. Nah. You know, there's a topic that's on the table. I don't even know if we're going to get to it. But I promise you, when I saw this particular topic, because I wanted to kind of mirror what the ladies were talking about, and I saw, you know, I came across this article, I was like, oh, wait, I'm real interested in seeing what our men have to say about this particular topic. So, I don't know. You know, it may seem like it's minor. It may seem like it's light. It may seem like, you know, it means nothing because it might mean nothing to some, you know, someone else. But over here on this Due Time with Pastor Steph, you don't know what you're going to get from moaning to moaning. From any of them. Yeah, we ain't only talking about the men. We talking about any Due Time crew member. Well, you know, let me let you get an opportunity to go get that healthy breakfast. Go tell somebody that it's Due Time with Pastor Steph is on. And make sure you go nowhere, because we'll be right back.
Early lung cancer typically does not cause symptoms. As the cancer grows, you may experience symptoms such as a cough that gets worse or does not go away, shortness of breath, chest pain, and wheezing. Other symptoms of lung cancer include coughing up blood, hoarseness, weight loss without trying, and frequent lung infections such as pneumonia. other health problems may cause these symptoms. You should see your doctor if you have any symptoms you're concerned about.
Good morning and good morning again. Welcome back to It's Due Time with Pastor Steph. And it is Freestyle Friday. Wow. God has been so good to us as he has just kind of carried us through the week. And we have been kept from all hurt, harm, and danger. And how can we say thank you? Can we say thank you for that? You know, just saying the little words, thank you. You know, just seems like it's so small in comparison to all God has done for us, right? But we got to say thank you nonetheless. All right, give thanks, you know, through it all. And considering that, you know, many of us could have had, should have had, would have had lung cancer, but God kept us. Remember the times when you used to go to work and people literally walked around with their cigarettes? They'd put the, they'd pack the cigarette and the ashes would go in your garbage can and they'd be talking to you and they just be puffing and blowing smoke, and it was like nothing. Imagine all the secondhand smoke issues that were going on, and we had no idea. And here we are, decades later. You know, that was about 30 years ago, 32 years ago. You know, I hadn't even had my middle girl yet, and I remember being pregnant, and they would just walk. I mean, it was just nothing. It wasn't even like it was something you complained about because it didn't bother you. And it's almost like as soon as they went smoke-free on the inside, then it started bothering you. Remember that? Do you remember that? Yeah. I remember getting a job and desks, computers, all furniture, the furniture at work had burn marks on it from when they used to sit the cigarette and forget, and it would just burn and burn up the top of the desk. So you see the burn mark, or like I said, I've seen the burn mark on the computer monitor. Can you imagine? This is the environment that we were just so freely living in, and how God has kept us. Wow. Wow, you just can't be God-given. I mean, I think of all the toxic things that we have, you know, inhaled and eaten and, you know, like, yo, we still here. We're still here. Now, we might be a little broke up or broke down, but we still here. So, you know, you really have to think about how great God has been to all of us. Yeah. So, I just wanted to just kind of say that, you know, when I heard this lung cancer PSA and just thought about how, you know, many of us, you know, should have had lung cancer just from the secondhand smoke. Think about when the people used to smoke and all the kids was in the car and the windows were up. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Oh, how you've rescued us. Oh, my goodness. And every little thing now you do around a kid, they sick. Man, if we had the bodies they had, we would have been dead a long time ago. They're born with allergies. You know, a newborn is getting an allergy test. What? Please. Man, how many? All we had was some cod liver oil. Some cod liver oil and some orange juice. Man, I tell you. Go ahead, God. You're always on point. Thank you. Thank you, God. Don't let me start because, you know, I won't stop. Well, let's get to talking today. Let's get to talking today. What are we talking about? Well, how about the couple in Pennsylvania who decided that for their YouTube channel, you know, they were going to do something quite a bit different. So, you know, we talked a long time ago. I think even when this show first started, we talked about people who would do, like, anything to get ratings, you know, increased and views on their YouTube channels. So there's a couple, you know, in Pennsylvania who does this. And they say their channel has more than 21,000 subscribers, and it features the couple doing viral challenges and pranking each other. So, you know, they've gotten quite creative, and, you know, when you try to outdo someone else, you know, with the prank, then you're always going to get, you know, your views because somebody wants to see what you're going to be doing next, right? Well, this is a little different. Because back in February, they decided to do the 24-hour overnight challenge in Target. And what they did is they posted a video where they said, you know, don't attempt this at home. You know how they say, don't try this at home. Well, they gave that disclaimer. And they said, you know, we're entertainers. We're risking trespassing. And they said, I don't know what else can happen after that. So what they did was they went into the store right before it closed, about a half hour before it closed, and they went in with their own water bottles and snacks, as well as wipes and mason jars, just in case they had to go to the bathroom. So what they did was they set up a fort out of product boxes on the bottom of a shelf until the store's lights went out, and then they, you know, wandered around the aisles filming themselves. Now, at 8 o'clock the next day, they left Target. So they say that in addition to uploading a video, stupid, that showed footage of them in Target after hours, Fox 29 Philadelphia reported that officers were called to the store at 3 a.m. the night that they happened to be, you know, that they slept over when an alarm went off. So the police searched the building, but they didn't find anyone. The next day, after learning about the alarm going off, the employees watched the security footage and saw a couple walking around the store after hours with their phones out. So now this is presumably this couple. So as they continued the investigation, they pretty much figured out who it was. So the security, you know, footage really confirmed that they didn't take anything from the store. And it also showed that they left through an emergency exit door at 3 a.m. So that's what set off the alarm that got the cops there at 3 a.m., but by the time the cops got there, they were gone. So they went back to the store at 8 a.m. to finish filming. So check this out. They are both charged with third-degree criminal trespassing and conspiracy. They were released on $25,000 unsecured bail. So they say that third-degree trespassing is when someone unlawfully enters or remains in or upon a premises that's not theirs, including a public place like Target. Okay? So for the time being, they're not allowed to visit any Target stores in Pennsylvania, and their next hearing is in March. So, you know, they've said, you know, there are no regrets, just living life and having fun. And it's kind of sad that all of this came out of it. They were just expecting a fine, nothing crazy. Now, who are you to limit what goes on? You know what I'm saying? You know, all we thought we was going to do is just get a fine. Well, as my mother used to say, who pays you to think? I forgot Ernie used to say that. But who pays you to think? How in the world you just going to walk up into people's place and expect that you would just get a fine? You thought that that's all that you deserved for being in the people's place? Although, you know, the security footage showed that you didn't steal anything, you still were in the people's place when you knew you were not supposed to be in the people's place. It's not like you got locked in somehow. You purposely went in there with that intention. So you should have realized that, you know what? They did say in the beginning of the video, we don't know what else is going to come out of this, so then shut up. Shut up and eat it. Because that was stupid. That was really stupid. Because I'm going to tell you something. In this climate, that could have gone really, really bad. Yeah, that could have gone bad. You know, they walk up in there, you know, then somebody's got a gun open, you know, they fire, all because they didn't know whether you had a gun, and it was dark, and you had a phone in your hand, but they thought it was a gun. I mean, come on, it's just so many things that could have happened that could have really made this stupid prank and video, you know, bad. So, yeah, you wanted a viral video, you got one. Take that on into the court and let them see, you know, your 21,000 subscribers, see how the court deals with you. Yeah, because that was stupid. That was stupid. It's for some grown people. Like, when do we stop? Oh, my goodness gracious. What else do we have going on? Check this out. So beware. And I'm going to tell you something. This is one of the reasons why I say I don't like all this texting. You know, it was not meant to be your sole form of communication. You know, so there's this guy, and he went on TikTok. To reveal this scam that he almost got caught up in. So he got a Venmo request. Now, Venmo is, you know, like Cash App and, you know, things like that where you can, you know, open up an account and you can use it for transferring money between, you know, people. So he gets this request on Venmo from a friend for a few hundred dollars. And he just didn't think it was like her. She didn't do things normally like that. And he didn't buy the reasoning, you know, that she gave. So he decided to reach out to her directly. And it is so good that he did. Because when he reached out to her, he got some information he wasn't expecting to get. So he gets a text that says, "At the store, I left my purse at home. I'll send it back as soon as I get back home. Please and thank you. Appreciate it." That's the text. Okay. He said he found that it was kind of weird for her. He said it didn't sound like her because she never carries a purse. Ah. So he was like, you know what? Let me text her. So come to find out that she had no idea of the Venmo request. And as he dug a little deeper, he found out that somebody had managed to clone her profile completely. It had the same username, the same photo, and the only giveaway was that the account didn't have any friends. But she actually had 19 friends. So it's like, you know, you puzzled now because you're like, well, how were they able to, you know, copy everything? And when he put it on TikTok, a lot of the users started responding that it had happened to them. And one person wrote, "This has happened to me too. You need to make your Venmo private or else people can do this to you." Another person wrote, "This happened to me. I was the friend. Luckily, everyone checked with me before sending." So check that out. Everyone. So this must have gone out to several people. And then someone else wrote, "This happened to my friend. She was so embarrassed that people thought she was requesting money." Now, this request was $300. So had the two of them been real tight enough for him to just say, you know, "All right, I'll just go ahead and send it," he would have been sending his $300 into La La Land. And when you Zelle, they ask you, you know, "Are you sure you want to send to this person?" And they warn you, "Don't make this mistake. Make sure it's the person you wanted to go to, because you're not getting your money back. Once it's sent, it's sent." And, you know, it's an excellent source. I mean, Zelle is just really, really, really a fantastic, you know, part of banking, because, you know, they've shut down, you know, person to person. So in other words, years ago, you could actually go, I used to send Shanties to my bank and make a deposit. No big deal. You just fill out the deposit form. And we always did it for all the people. If we wanted to give you money and maybe you needed to pay a bill, you know, we would just go ahead and put it in your bank account. But now you can't even do that because they don't allow you to put anything into anyone else's account. Certain banks, they don't allow you to put anything into, you know, anyone else's account if it's not your account. Yeah, it has to be your account. Someone told me the other day that they allow you to put money into someone else's account, but it has to be a money order. It's gradually gotten to this because, you know, this is, you know, so many things are going on that, you know, this is happening. So Zelle is the next best thing because if you know, let's say Pastor Kim, who's in Michigan, you know, I want to give her something, I can just go and write to the app or to the bank, you know, on the internet and just send it over to her. You know, or, and I don't need to know her bank account. It can be under your email. It could be under your phone number. Yeah. So, you know, Venmo is just another way of doing that. And is Goody checked? Is Good the thief used that, just that one little blurb, left my purse at home, and she doesn't even carry a purse. So bingo, we already know that the you know that the alarms and the sirens are going off. So just be careful, you know, when everybody's hitting you up, you know, and nobody wants to talk anymore. Everybody too busy and all this kind of garbage to even, you know, pick up a phone and talk. And I you know what? That's what they're playing on. They're playing on the they're preying on the fact that you ain't picking up your phone. Oh, people don't communicate like that these days. Yeah. And they know that. So, you know. Be careful, people. Be careful. Well, check this out. So out in Tulsa, Oklahoma, they have this drug dealer, Cameron Jermaine Payne, or they put his full government all out there. Back in 2020, he sold his one of his former high school classmates some pills. And the next day, they found the kid dead, who used the drug, who bought the pills from him. And, you know, he said when he heard about it, you know, he felt real numb. You know, he said he can't explain what he felt. But he kept on selling. He kept on selling. Didn't stop him. So he continued to sell. He made enough money to buy a pet monkey, jewelry, guns, before he was arrested. He posted photos and videos of himself on Snapchat with this whole fan. They showed one of the pictures. He's fanning some money. I mean, all these bills. I mean, they could be ones, but they're probably not ones. And he got messed up. He got messed up because what he did was go to court. And they gave him 30 years. He's only 21 years old. Now, let me tell you why he got 30 years. Because the judge said he knew what he was doing. So here's the deal. He was selling pills that were supposed to be like, what's it, the Oxy. And come to find out, the Oxy was laced with fentanyl. And that's what the young man died from. He thought he was buying Oxy, you know, from the guy. And he was actually buying Oxy laced with fentanyl. And here's the problem that he ran into, the seller, because he knew that this was laced. But he kept on selling. So they have this whole thing where he apologized to the victim's parents and said that he may have had a role in the death. You know, he says, I wasn't raised this way. I just pray that you find the kindness in your heart to forgive me. And they said that he had sold six pills for $100. And he says, I knew there was a chance that the pills may have contained fent, but the effect I had when I took it made me feel normally relaxed. And he said that he sold the real Oxy for 50. This is what he's telling someone. He sold the real Oxy for 50, but the pressed Oxy he only sold for $8, which means that he was selling the Oxy that had the fentanyl in it for $8. He said, but them been killing people, he wrote. I don't recommend them, but I be telling people about them. So this is some correspondence that they caught him having with someone else. So all of this is an admittance that you knew what was going on. He also complained to a supplier about getting fentanyl pills. He told the supplier he wasn't tripping because he knew they still were going to sell. His father tells the judge he has a huge heart. He's really a good kid. Yeah, there's a bit of silence there because I need you to let that sink in. Now, my son has sold drugs, period. Period. You just sold drugs, period. So you know you out here killing people, okay? I know how I raised you, and I'm going to stand up here and testify and petition the court when you willingly were selling drugs. Okay, so not only that, but then you found out you were selling drugs that was different than what you thought it was. So you thought they was giving you Oxy. You found out it was fentanyl. You've been using the fentanyl pills, fentanyl lace pills, but because it made you feel fine, normally relaxed, you gonna continue to sell it because you know you told the guy who was selling it to you, well, you know, I ain't really tripping because, you know, they're going to sell anyway. So you know you taking a risk on killing yourself if you use it, but you're taking a risk on other people dying just in case they use it. And I know this. I'm flashing money to show I'm on the come up. You know, I'm making my dollar. I'm making my bread. And I'ma stand there and say that you have a huge heart and you a really good kid. I told y'all before, I told Shanti, Shawnee's into major. Don't look for me with the picket sign. Don't get no trouble out there. Cause I'm not gonna I ain't gonna be out there free Shanti's, free Shawnee's, free to major. Nah, I might visit you, might put a little dollars on your books. We not standing there, and I'm going to stand up in front of a judge. I'd be too embarrassed. Well, if they said, is Stephanie's parents here? I mean, Shantisha Shawnee's parents or Tamaja's parents here? I'd be ducking. I don't want you to even know who I am. And they always tell me how the last two look exactly like me. So then they be then blew that all together because then they be saying, oh, she looks like her. No, I'll be standing on the outside with my ear to the door. I'm going to stand there and tell somebody you got a huge heart and you a really good kid. How? You good how? You a good drug dealer? Because you could sell these drugs to people when you know it's going to kill them. That's the goodness of your heart? Well, the judge said absolutely not, because this was about greed and street cred and slinging dope and showing off your guns. So guess what? We're going to get you off the streets and make sure you don't kill anybody else. So he also had a pending charge for a handgun that they gave him 10 years for. But because God never deals with us according to our iniquity, the 10 years he was getting wasn't given consecutively. So he's not going to spend 40 years in there with the 30 years from the death and the 10 years from the gun. He's only going to spend 30 because he's allowed it to run concurrently, which means that it all gets bunched up together. So still God was good. That's why Dad needs to sit down and shut up. Because God already knows what he's going to do with you. God already knows what he's going to do with you. Just some sad and sorry, you know, he's good. I'm done. I'm so done. Where my due time crew at? Where my men at? Let me talk to my Pastor KL. Good morning, Pastor KL.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. God bless you. We bring you greetings. We bring you greetings from the church today. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you. How are you?
All right, all right. In just case somebody wanted to pledge, the name of the church is My Former Life for Christ, where we forget those things which are behind and move forward to the high mark.
Okay. Well, what does the church say about this Oklahoma kid who's 21, who was out there selling the Oxy pills laced with fentanyl, knowingly even told the guy who was selling, I ain't tripping because, you know, they're going to sell. You know, they're going to sell anyway. And, yeah, they sold all right. And you killed your former high school, classmate. And you didn't think nothing of that. You even took the stuff yourself.
Yeah, I think he was a little out of his mind, first of all. He wasn't business-minded because he wasn't really thinking about the repeat customer. I mean, so
right.
That was in itself was dangerous. That was in itself was dangerous. So you're going to lose some folks, you know. And then with you, you know, most great business people don't use their own product. You know what I mean? So now you caught up and you in suicidal mode. So you about to kill the whole business by itself. So,
yep.
Yeah. It's kind of crazy.
Yep. I mean, what happened to don't get high on your own supply?
Exactly.
I agree with you. You know, don't you want the people to keep coming back? You know, that's why they even give
right.
out the little samples because they know that, you know, the high is going to be a good one, so they're going to come back to you opposed to the guy across
right.
the street, you know, on the corner. That was dumb. That was dumb. That was straight dumb.
Right.
I agree with you, you know. What say you about Dad, who says he has a good heart? No, excuse me. Let me say it correctly. He has a huge heart, and he's a good kid.
Well, you know what? And I know after hearing all this stuff, we want to know how can you say that. But a lot of times we're so oblivious to the real world that we can't see our child any way but the way we raised them or but the way they were in our house playing with their blocks and stuff like that. And in our mind, you know, someone turned them over, turned them into this, you know, and we have to blame somebody else because my child wasn't grown up like that. He wasn't raised like that. You know, he would never do that. Somebody else had to force him to do this. So sometimes we want to make that argument because we can't see him or her being any way else. We can't see that monster because all we remember is the rattle in his hand, you know, his first steps, his first spoken word, and we can't see him as a killer.
Even when somebody's standing there and they're reading off what he's saying,
you know,
and how he felt and what he did, you still can't? What world are you living in?
Yeah, but you know what, Pastor Steph, and I definitely understand what you're saying wholeheartedly, but how many times we've seen people in the school days or somebody comes to somebody's house and says, listen, your child just slapped my child, and we say, oh, no, not my child. My child couldn't have did that. And we make 300 and 400 excuses of why. You know, he was in the house. Now, you know your child wasn't in the house. But we just don't want to admit that that was your child. You know, so, yeah, I can see it happen. I mean, does it sound logically to me? No. But, I mean, so people are in so denial of their children that their children could not have done that. I mean, listen, we hear some stories that my niece, John Key, says, and I'm like, wow. And even it's coming out of her mouth, and I'm saying, no, not your niece. It wasn't her. This is just for radio. You know what I mean? This is just for television. You know, but sometimes because you have this image of people, you say no. You know, it wasn't him. It wasn't her.
Wow. Well, that's interesting because while you sitting over there, oh, no, not her. I'm over here as her mama saying something completely different. I'm like, oh, Lord Jesus. She can't be telling me this. Thank God I don't have a weak heart because she been and killed me all by herself from her former life stories.
Your father going to say she had a big heart.
But you know what's funny? Do you know what's funny now that you say that? Do you know my father had said? Like, she ain't never revealed this stuff to him. He probably would have a heart attack. But she said, like, certain things, and he had said, and, you know, and it's now it's clicking, Pastor K.O. I didn't even think about this. But there were times when he would say, my granddaughter wouldn't do something like that. And I'm like, have you lost your, in Ernie's words, have you lost your mind? I'm telling you. And he's like, I can't believe that my granddaughter would do something like that. I'm like, yo, why am I the mother with the reality check and you all sitting over there talking about your granddaughter couldn't have done this? But you know, I have to tell you, it didn't even cross my mind until you just said it. And now I could hear him in my head saying that. So you're right. You know, no matter what some people hear, if, you know, he's painted this picture of his granddaughter, that's why I say it would kill him. If he really listened to this broadcast, or we'd have to defibrillate him. Because he could not handle it. But no, it's, you know what, I got to tell you, it's true. You know, and Brother Al always says to us, you know, he's fighting that battle at the school. No, not my kid. Well, here's Brother Al right here, so he could tell his own story. Thank you for joining us this morning, Pastor KL. Good morning, Brother Al.
Never get high off your own supply.
Is that your words of wisdom?
Good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I'm well. Thank you. I'm well. Brother Al, you know, we're talking about this kid in Oklahoma, 21 years old. You know, he's been a drug dealer. He's, you know, been selling Oxy. And he found out somehow that the Oxy was laced with fentanyl. He did approach the seller. And, you know, I guess I don't know what the seller said, but he, you know, he just kind of said, well, you know, I ain't really tripping because, you know, they still going to sell. He's used it himself and said that, you know, he's felt normally relaxed. And he sold it to one of his, you know, former classmates. And the next day they found, you know, him dead. And, you know, he's, you know, there's no remorse. They said that there was no remorse, although, you know, he did apologize, you know, to, you know, the kid's parents. And, you know, his father is now in court saying, you know, my son has a huge heart. You know, he's really a good kid. And the judge is like, nah, I ain't buying that. I'm getting him off the streets so he'll kill nobody else. And he's got 30 years that he's doing now because of this stupid decision making. You didn't even get the luxury of making 30 years worth of money. And now you're going to spend your formative years, your true years where, you know, all of who you are, that's where those are those years. You're going to spend it in jail. Brother Al, what are we talking about?
Oh, man, you know, that's one thing, especially mothers. You know, they're going to ride for the hit. You know, I'm listening to the story, and it brings me back to when I first started at this school I'm at now. And it was two kids on personal suspension for selling drugs, right? Now, what these kids do now, they do it in a gummy. You know, they do it in the gummy, cookies, all that craziness. So it's my first day here. These two kids are in there, and I'm like, why are you here? And, you know, they was honest with me. He was like, yo, I was selling the edibles and stuff like that. And so he went to him and I said, okay, well, how did you get caught? And Pastor Tell, this kid looked at me. He said, well, you know, I had him in my bag. I sold some to somebody. And then I just went in the back and I took a whole handful and I got real high and I slipped up and they caught me. And I'm looking at him. I said, you idiot. Don't you know you don't get high off your own supply? So that brought me to that story. I was
wow.
But You decided to get in that game. See, they don't understand the system. When you get in that game, there's a whole lot that comes with it. You know, there's death, there's jail, you know. And people don't seem to understand. They don't take that seriously. So now he goes and do that. And like you said, mom's sitting there saying, oh, yo, he's a good kid. And just like my son, he's a good kid too, but he's a thief. You know, you got to come to realization. You got to come to realization.
God.
Because I understand because you don't want to believe it because you know what you did to raise this child. And I'll never forget when my son was stealing from me, you know, and I was dating this girl. And she stole the money from me. I straight up accused the girl. Oh, I was going to let her. I said, is this chick coming in my house stealing? And my brother had to tell me, he said, Al, I know you don't want to hear this, but your son took that money. I didn't treat him, baby. He know to ask me if he needs something. She went in my drawer and took that money, and when she come over here tomorrow, I'm going to let her have it. Because you into now, because you know I worked hard, I raised them the right way. So we teach our children things, and we figure because we taught them, they're going to grasp it right away. And that's not the case. So I had to come to realization that, no, he is stealing from me. Like, this dude is taking money from me. I love him to death. He's a great kid, but he's a thief. So we have to come to realization when our kids do stuff. And like you said, bless your grandparents. Oh, grandparents ain't trying to hear that. I'm sitting there telling Pop, he stole from me. You sure? Pop, the money gone. Yes, I'm sure. Are you sure? Yes, I'm very sure. So
oh,
this
wow.
guy, like you said, wow. you went out here, you did this. You knew it had this stuff, you know, laced with whatever. And you still like, you know what? Nah, I'm still going to sell it. That's murder. So he deserves the time.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. But for the record, Brother Al, this is not Mom this time with her picket sign. This is Dad who is saying, you know, he's got a huge heart and he's a good kid. Now, I got to go back a little bit because I got to stick a pin in this because this always bothers me. Let me make sure I understand what you said. Did you say that your son was a good kid, but he's a thief?
Yep, that's what I said. That's what I said.
Help me understand this. How do you...
He's a father.
How are you a thief, but you a good person? And you in the Lord? I'm a little lost. Help me understand this. Now, again, I always say to all of you, whatever the sinners say, you can get anything from them. But how are we in the Lord and we merge the two? Help me with this.
Okay.
Because in my personal opinion, everybody has some issues. Just because you got some issues don't mean that you're a bad person. You know, I mean, that's what I say. You might have a person that I'll give a perfect example, my father. My father was a great person. You know, he helped anybody he can, do whatever he could. But when my mother died, he couldn't handle it, and he turned to being on drugs. He didn't hurt anybody or did nothing to anybody. He just was using a substance. So I feel just because a person has an issue or a hang-up don't mean that they're a bad person.
Okay. Pastor KL, what's your view on your – because, see, to me, you just gave me two different scenarios. For me, this is for me. You know, a person using drugs, you know, but for thieves, someone who's doing something against someone. Even if you want to – let's even slice that pie. I'm going to play this game a little bit, and I'll slice this pie and say, okay, you know, this was something – he was doing self-harm. This him helping, hurting himself. Oh, because even if you don't want to count that one, that's not the same as this one here, who's a thief, who's a good person, in my head. And like I said, I'm thinking biblical. I'm going biblical. I ain't going street. Pastor KL, what's your take on, you know, my child's a thief, my child's a murderer? Because this is what the dad is saying. Now, maybe Al didn't say, you know, if his son did that. But, again, there's no gradation of sin with God. So sin is sin. What's your take on this, you know, my child is a murderer, but, you know, he has a huge heart, and he's a good kid?
Well let's first go to Al's son, you know. Maybe we misheard him. Maybe Al was saying, you know, my child is a good thief and has a good heart. You know what I mean? Sometimes, you know what I mean, he's just good at what he does. You know what I mean?
So wait. You know? So let's clarify. Brother Al, are you saying that your son is a good thief? Or are you saying that your son's a thief, but he's still a good person?
Both.
You know what? Okay, all right. He says both. Well, listen, he's got to be admitting that he's a good thief anytime you're accusing the girlfriend and you ain't understanding that it's the son who's thieving. So, yeah, he's a good thief, you know, according to Al. Yes, okay, so continue, Pastor KL.
But now, as the one who's doing the killing, you're not a good person. You know, your heart is black to me, because it takes a lot. You know what I'm saying? It takes a lot to kill somebody. It takes a lot to slap somebody, to harm somebody. You know, you can't have a good heart when you're trying to hurt somebody else. You know, even though you're trying to come up financially, you know that there is a great danger with what you're selling. Forget about just regular weed or regular. You understand what I'm saying? But now you know this stuff has other content in it. And you killing, wait, as soon as you killed your own friend and you had no remorse for that, how's your heart big? Because if I killed my friend, listen, even though I knew there was something in it, I would still feel bad. Oh, man. He got a bad back, you know. But you didn't even care. You don't have no great heart.
And because sin is sin, God ain't looking at the thief any differently. Still sin. So I agree. I would agree that, excuse me, you know, we all have issues. You know, even, you know, we talk all the time about our former life. We still have issues. Excuse me. We still have issues. You know, we haven't been delivered from everything once we give God our life. And even down the line, you know, years into that, you know, God is still delivering us from things. But I don't see nowhere in the Bible where it says you're a good person, because God says you're either on my side or you're on the other side. And this is why the Bible also says even the righteous shall scarcely make it in, because this is the way we think of things. We, you know, remember, at least I ain't kill nobody. I just stole out my mother's pocketbook. At least I ain't, you know, put a gun in his head and just pulled the trigger. I only gave him some laced oxycodone and you know, just hope that, you know, it helped him feel the way I felt. We don't ever want to assume responsibility for what we do. God says you need to be hot or cold, because being in the middle, I'm going to spit you out. So you can't be good and bad. You can't purposely do things to people and now you good. Like Pastor Carol said, this heart is challenged. And I told you for the past year on this broadcast alone, God continues to have me challenge his people. He's challenging his people through all of this news. Challenge of the heart. Challenge of the spirit. Challenge whether your mind has been renewed or not. I'm sorry. According to the Bible, I'm not seeing where it is. I told you before, every time you know, I'm not a bad person. So I'm saying, well, then what constitutes bad? Help me. What would be a bad person, Brother Al? Help me understand that. So who do we call bad? Nobody?
No, you know, like you said, I hear you loud and clear. And I think what happens, especially when it comes to our children, when we say good, even while you was talking, I was listening. I'm like, you know what? She's absolutely right. When we say that this person is good, like you say, got a good heart, or he's a good kid, we think it back to when he was younger. That flashes in our mind. Like when he was younger, oh, he was a great kid. He ran around, he played. Now he grew up to be crazy. So I think what happened, that flashes back in our mind of when he was younger and he was doing stuff, not where he's at now, you know. And like I said, a bad person, just like you said, you do something, you're doing wrong stuff. You're doing stuff that's not according to God's will. But like you said, there's no sin greater than the other.
Well, amen. Amen. High five. Air high five. You know, it's just, you know, Brother Al and Pastor KL, is, like I said, you know, it's something that has been really, really displayed to me for quite a few years, because that's a tagline for people. You know, I'm not a bad person. And I'm saying to myself, well, what I'm reading here in the Word of God, that ain't what it says. You know, when we think of things carnally, you know, we always get a pass on everything, because again, it's that at least factor. You know, at least I ain't do that. I ain't a bad person because I didn't go there. I didn't do this. But when we really start paying real close attention to this word, it really needs to help us clean up and readjust our way of thinking. Because think about it this way, guys: if we never think of ourselves as being bad, or what we do as bad, will we ever work toward improvement? Yes, no, maybe so.
Oh, I didn't know you who you were talking about.
Throwing that out there. If we never saw ourselves as being bad, would we ever try to develop a closer relationship with God?
I would say not at all, because if you don't think it's bad, then you don't think you're doing anything wrong. So
right.
You have to consider, you know, like I said, we always say our former life. And we say that because what we were doing wasn't pleasing to God, and it was bad. So we had to work on fixing that and getting a better relationship with him.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
And to please him as well.
Amen. 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 Thank you guys for just indulging me in that conversation. So,
hold on. Let me answer that.
You got an answer. You woke up.
Well, no, I mean, you wasn't direct on who you were talking to. You just threw it out there.
I was, no, so I was actually, I didn't know. Normally I do call a name out, but this, you know, I did say guys, so it was kind of open. I did not say, you know, I did, you're right, mm-hmm. I didn't call anybody's name.
Okay, okay. We take that as an apology. No problem. We don't get those too often. But you know,
no, because I did when Al said it. I did say I didn't. I didn't. Mm-hmm. I didn't call anyone's name. I'm sorry.
Okay. Shanti, write this one down for the record.
Yeah, okay.
But you know, I often say this that if you're not, if you don't feel convicted, you won't be converted.
Right.
You know, so
right.
So you have to first.
Right.
You have to first feel that I'm doing something wrong in order to want to change. You know, a lot of times in our former life, we didn't change because it felt good.
Right.
You understand what I'm saying? We didn't care whether it was right or wrong. It was never a thought of whether it was right or wrong. What it was that it worked. Whatever we did worked for us for that moment. So we didn't feel bad about it because at some point, whatever we did made us feel good.
Right. Right, right. And again, you know, when we get the results, you know, that we are looking for, it's all done. It's all gravy. And because of that, we don't, like you said, we don't feel any different, you know. We don't feel bad. We don't have any remorse. We're not convicted because we didn't got exactly what we want, and we're living high off of that. And I will be the first to tell you that God just alerted me that something that I did years ago, I'm now eating. Yeah, he's thrown that sin in the sea of forgetfulness, but there's still the consequence. And, yeah, I'm eating the consequence of it now. And, you know, I was bad back then. And, you know, you just kind of, like you say, you know, you getting what you're getting out of it. And it's like, okay, you know, I'm all right, you know. But never thinking, you know, I didn't know God then the way I know God now. And now here it is, 30 years later, 32, 33 years later, I'm eating this. And Don't take yourself down that road. And you know, when I'm talking to, you know, the congregation, you know, I'm always warning them. Get out now. Get out while God is trying to pull you up out of that quicksand. Get out now, because if you don't, and He spares your life, you're gonna be eating this stuff later on. So let's get ourselves together. Let's take this as a warning, this conversation that has ensued again. You know, we always, you know, God has always got something for us from these news headlines and these news stories. Let's get ourselves together so we don't endure some unnecessary life, unnecessary living, unnecessary hurt and pain, because like, you know, like Pastor K.O. said and Brother Al, you know, touched on, you know, all this is fun when it's going on. You having a real good time. And I'm sitting back and I'm wondering, okay, well, what's going on with this thing here? And finally, God said, I wanted to make sure you felt this thing here. And I was like, dang. I was hoping when you threw that in the sea of forgetfulness, you threw the consequences with it. It don't work like that. So, you know, be convicted of the things that you do that's wrong. Thank you, guys. Thank you so much for indulging me and helping the listeners and ourselves. You know, we help one another here. All right. So, you know, the other day we were talking about giving generously with the ladies. And I wanted to see, you know, what the men thought of giving generously. And then I got something else that popped up. And what they did was they gave different gifts that a man gives, and they said what it meant when he gave that gift. So the first thing they talked about is when you men give flowers, let's see what you say and let's see what they say flowers are supposed to mean. So, Brother Al, when you give a woman flowers, what does that mean to you? What are you saying to her?
Well, for me, when I give flowers, I look at it like you're just as beautiful and smell just as good as these flowers that I'm giving. So if I don't give you no flowers, there's a problem.
Oh, wow. Okay. What about you, Pastor KL?
He got no choice.
I'm giving you flowers before you die.
Wait, what happened?
I'm giving you flowers before you die. I'm giving you flowers before you die. You know, they said
is
give me flowers
that
so I can smell them.
Oh, my Lord. Oh, my God.
You know, they said give me my flowers while I'm still living. So, you know, I'm giving you flowers before you die.
Wow. So no other sentimental feeling or anything like that at all?
Well, for me, no. Okay, so I know women like flowers. But for me, I don't like flowers because flowers will die. You know, so why would you give someone a gift that's going to eventually die? You know, so I just don't do flowers.
Okay. Well, they say that flowers show that he cares about you. If he sends you roses, then it means he loves you. But if he sends you daisies and tulips, then it means you are truly special to him and he appreciates you. Now, Brother Al, as a flower giver, would you agree with this at all? Are you talking to the mute button, Brother Al?
He's pushing up daisies.
I'm sorry, I tried to get in. See, there's certain things you got to ignore, Pastor Kale, because you know if Mrs. Frazier was listening in, he wouldn't be saying that.
Oh, okay.
because, again, there's nothing that lasts forever. You know what I'm saying? So just because something don't last forever, you get a brand new car, it ain't going to be brand new forever. You know, you put food in your house, it ain't going to be in your house forever. So don't buy food, you know. So I just see that different, you know. And if you look online, you find out how to make them last a little longer.
All right, Brother Allen, I asked you a question, and you responded to Pastor KL. So I'm going to repeat this thing here. It says, flowers show that he cares about you. If he sends you roses, then it means he loves you, but if he sends you daisies and tulips, then it means you are truly special to him and he appreciates you. And I said, as a flower giver, do you see any truth to that?
Well, I can't say because it depends on the person. Some people might like tulips. You know, if my lady likes tulips and I know she likes tulips, then that's all I'm going to get her because I know that's what she likes. So I guess it depends on what it means to that person. You know, some people might like daisies.
Okay, that's fair. That's fair. Just asking, you know. Come on, don't get no hostile. You know, be careful how you talk.
Be careful how
you talk to me, Brother Al. All right, man. They're talking about glory. Okay, I don't want the flowers. coming from Brother Al, I don't want the flowers. All right, jewelry. Jewelry. Brother Al, do you give jewelry?
No, the only thing I gave was an engagement ring. I'm not really a jewelry, you know, give jewelry to people. So I don't give jewelry.
Now, why don't you give jewelry?
I don't know. I just never did. You know, when I'm with somebody, I just kind of figure out, you know, from being around them and talking with them, I figure out what they like, you know. So if jewelry is not mentioned, then I don't think about it.
Okay. Pastor KL, do you give jewelry?
I gave a wedding ring.
Okay. Okay. Well, you know, listen, that's why I said I was interested in hearing from you two today, because this, I was like, oh, goodness, how are they going to answer this? Well, they say when a man gives jewelry, it says the reason behind the gift could be he cares deeply about you and the relationship. So, okay, so I guess that doesn't say that for you two. Concert tickets. Brother Al, when you give concert tickets, what does that mean to you as the giver?
It means I spent a whole bunch of money on some tickets.
Okay.
But concerts, when the last concert I've been to? Because I'll go to plays and stuff. I mean, you don't do concerts.
It's the same concept, Brother Al. Whether it's in other words, tickets to, you know, the theater, or tickets to, you know, a concert or a play or whatever. It's all the same concept.
Okay. Okay. So what does it mean when I get a ticket? Well, for me, that means that I want you to experience this show with me. I'm going to see a show. I want you to experience, you know, watching this show with me. So it should be an honor because I'm taking you with me, because usually I go by myself.
Okay. All right, I take that. Pastor KL, what are we talking about here? If you buy concert tickets, what is that saying from you?
That you paying for dinner?
You know what?
But no, seriously. If I buy tickets, and again, I'm like, I'll go to a play as opposed to a concert. But if I buy tickets, that means that I wanted you to be with me, you know, to watch this together. You know, unfortunately, my wife doesn't like going to concerts with me because she says I'm too critical because I sing. And I'll be like, oh, that's a bad note. But if I go to a play, you know, I want you there with me. I want you to enjoy it with me. I want to see, you know, your reaction.
Okay. Well, they say that, you know, buying concert tickets shows that he intends to still be with you. And he wants you to experience that with him. So this is common. Okay. All right, a couple's massage. When you buy tickets for a couple's massage, what does that mean, Brother Al? We all grown here.
Yeah, you know, though, no. I really don't do the massage thing, really. I think I had one, so I probably wouldn't be doing that.
Okay. Pastor KL? Are you talking to the music?
I think that's what, like, the light-skinned folks. You know, I mean, with me, I'm not that comfortable getting on a table spread eagle naked for no massage. So yeah, I think that's for the light-skinned folks. I wouldn't do that.
Okay. What about when you buy her clothes? What is that saying, Brother Al?
Well, for me, that's saying that if I'm going and I'm buying clothes, I'm looking at, whoa, my baby's going to look good in this. You know, she's going to look good in this. I'm going to get this. This going to fit her real nice. So, and I don't buy clothes often. So if I buy clothes for you, I really like you. So that's what that's saying for me. I just think it's seeing that you're going to look nice in this. And when we hang out, this is what I want you to wear.
Okay. Pastor KL, when you buy clothing, what does that mean?
I'm tired of the boy shorts. And I think we can, you know, step up to something else a little better. When we go to dinner and stuff like that, I want you looking a certain way. You know, but in all actuality, when I buy clothing, because I want us to compliment each other. And there's some things that I think that my wife may look good in it. And I want her to wear it. You know, so sometimes, you know, we don't think of ourselves in certain ways, so we don't buy certain things, or even
look at certain things. But I think somebody else has to broaden your horizon and show you other things you can do.
Okay. Well, they're saying that if he buys you clothes, that you're always on his mind. And when he walked past that clothing store, he thought of you. And it also says that what you two just said, you know, you're going out and, you know, he wants you to look a certain way when you go out. And I'd really like to talk to the ladies one day and ask, what does that mean to you as a woman when a man buys you clothes and he's already picked out your outfit? You know, sometimes women find that flattering. Other times women find that, you know, on the outside, you know, hey, you trying to tell me
women
something.
Women been doing that forever. You know, women been dressing men forever. I mean, you know, Pastor Charlene is killing Elder. You know what I mean? Making sure he wear this tie with these shoes. I mean, so women been doing that forever. You know, they've been doing that forever. So I don't know why they would feel any certain way. You know, because for a long time, you know, if we went to a church or if we went to, you know, any type of concert, the woman had to pick the man's outfit because he was scared of what he was going to wear.
Well,
and you know, Pastor Steph, it could be.
Go ahead,
I'm sorry. You know, it could be a positive and a negative too, because I knew somebody like that. He picked out stuff for his woman to wear or bought her stuff because, oh, she got a nice figure. I don't want this showing and this and that. So I'm gonna buy her this. So it also can be on a negative side, a control thing as well, because I've seen that.
And that's what I was gonna say, Brother Al. Most times, when a woman dresses her man, it's not because she's displeased with what he has on. That's not a norm. We do have those women, you know, who are bossy. Because Shanti's, I've seen her. You know, the boy comes over, they going out, and he's wearing something. She's like, I know you're not going nowhere, and I'm like, what? You want control what the boy wear too? It's like, yo, fall back. Well, he can't go nowhere with me with those shoes on. And I was like, oh, my God. He can't go nowhere with those sneakers on, you know. And I've seen her do this through several young men. If he didn't, if when he got to the house, if he wasn't dressed like this, but that's not the norm for women. You know, normally when women buy clothes for men, it's to, you know, it compliments him, and, you know, she thinks he will look good in that. And, you know, it's just something that women do to buy clothes. Men buy most times with a different train of thought. And like Brother Al just gave, you know, that's a controlling, you know, because he don't want nobody looking at it. And then you got the other men who have said, you know, I want men to look at, you know, my woman, you know, and see how sexy she is or how hot she is, however you term it. So that's why I said, you're right, Pastor KL. They do. They have dressed men for years, decades. But I'm interested in hearing what they would, you know, what they would say to something like that. All right, gentlemen. We're talking about when you buy household items. Brother Al, what does that mean?
Let me. I'm tired of seeing that raggedy spatula that you keep turning the hamburger. <get. laughs> I'm going to get you a new spatula because I'm tired of you flipping the hamburger and it's falling because that spatula is about to fall apart. So I would say that. I'm sticking to that for real. Because the utensils you got is raggedy, or I'm seeing you struggling with something. You know, Tamika laugh at me all the time because I buy gadgets. I like to make life easier. You sitting there struggling peeling that potato when I can just put it in this machine, turn it, and it peels it itself. Come on, get rid of that. Here, take this. Use this.
Wait. What did you say, Brother Al? What did you say, that last piece?
I said the potato. You know, they got a potato peel. You know, you got
right,
the normal one
right.
You put in your hand and you just scrub and crawl. They have a machine where you set the potato on it, a piece comes down on the top, and you turn it like you turn in a handle,
right,
and the potato,
right,
as
right,
the potato
right.
spins. Because I like easier life. Yeah? I don't want to work hard.
Wow. All right, Brother Al, I got you, I got you. What about you, Pastor Kale, when you buy a household item for her? What are you trying to say? What are you giving her this gift for?
Because your stuff raggedy. I'm with Brother Al. In my former life, you go to somebody's house, you want to make scrambled eggs, you pull out the pot, there's a screw coming out the handle. So now you stick the eggs and the eggs are torn all over the place. You know? I mean, you turn the pot one way, it's going the other way. You know, listen, you need some better pots. I want a fried egg, now the eggs are scrambled. You know, I don't want scrambled eggs. I want a fried egg. But now because I moved the pot wrong, now my eggs are scrambled. Yeah, you got some raggedy stuff. I'm going to help you out.
And you know, I got to tell you, the last set of pots I bought, I looked and looked and looked to find ones that did not have a screw-on handle, because that is the most annoying thing. The pot is good. It's still good. But now you got to use the pot holder just to manipulate the pot because the handle is gone. So I'm with you, man. I'm with you, man. Y'all know how it goes down. Y'all know the pot is fresh. It's good. It's nice. It's still good. But yet the handle is wobbly or engine fell off because you meant to get that screwdriver 5 weeks ago and tighten that handle, and you just kept forgetting. And now you done lost the screw in the cabinet somewhere. So, I'm with y'all.
You know what's bad about that, Pastor Seth? What's bad about that is that pot cooks so good, so you don't want to get rid of it. You know that pot is cooked so good. Give me that pot holder. I'm going to use this pot holder on the side.
Yep. Yes, I agree. And that's what I say, it's hard to part with this pot. But you got to let it go because you can't be using it, especially if you're dating somebody. You can't be seen using this raggedy pot. What does that say? You going to keep throwing out the excuse, yo, this pot will fry your egg better than any other pot I've ever had in my life. Ain't nobody trying to hear that all the time. So you messed up. All right, gentlemen, the last one here, money. What does it mean when you give money, Brother Al?
That means I care about you. I care about your well-being. You know, I'm seeing, okay, you're a little short and you're trying to get this and figure this out and you don't want to ask me. So, you know, you're my other half, so I'm going to come over here, baby, take this $50, take care of what you need to do, or this $100. So that means I really care about you.
Okay,
I don't give up no cash.
Okay. Pastor KL, when you give money, what does that mean?
Well, the same way, but I'm a little different with Brother Al. That, you know, that means I love you. I really care about your well-being. So when I say, hey, take these $2, you know, go buy yourself something nice, you know, you have to really care about it. You know?
You know what?
You know, Brother, I'm talking about $100. The devil is a liar. Take me $2 and make it work.
You know what? It's good you're no longer on the market. And you wouldn't find nobody now. You would not find a good, decent catch now. You'd be the messed up all over the place.
You got no dollars, $2 is going to help you.
You know what? I can't.
Hey, Pastor, he going there spending $2, he's going to get him a crackhead.
Right? Thank you. That's why I said, hey, it's good he's still ain't on the market. Because he wouldn't get anybody decent.
Hey, Brother Al, I'm going to get a crackhead with a good heart.
Oh,
she
my goodness gracious.
She got a good heart.
And I can't. You know what, guys? You know, again, you know, we talked about on Wednesday, you know, giving generously. We talked today more specific, you know, what it means for you, what it means. Oh, wait, I got to tell you what they say when you give about money. So it says, if he gives you money, whether you ask for it or not, he wants you to know he's there for you and your needs. So, okay, all right, nice. Now, the household items, they say that it can say that you're lazy and you could care less about what these particular things look like. So, I don't know, y'all. I don't know about that one, because just like I said, I can tell you right now about the pot with the handle coming off. I agree with you. But, you know, being that, you know, we touched on, you know, the generosity, why don't you give the listeners a word of advice, Brother Al, when it comes to, you know, a woman receiving a man's gift in general? What would you say? What would you tell your daughter?
Well, I would tell my daughter to be careful, you know, because also when somebody giving gifts, sometimes it's the sucker you in. Oh, he's so generous and kind. He's taking care of me, but he wants something in that process, you know, as far as, you know, talking on that level. But as far as you in a relationship with somebody, you in a relationship with that person for a reason. You know, that's your wife. Y'all been together for a while. That, you know, you're doing these things to help out. Show this person, hey, listen, I got your back. You ain't got to do all this by yourself. I know that pot is raggedy, so I'm going to go get us some more pots, you know. And when you go to work, I'm going to throw that pot out, and you're going to come back with a pot. And, hey, it's in the recycle, baby. Don't worry about it. Look, I got you this brand new one. It's similar. You know, so I would say, you know, that's showing that I got your back. You know, you ain't got to do this by yourself, you know. And because of your hard work, you've been working hard today, you was a little bit stressed, here's some flowers to make you smile, because I know that you love flowers. So you know what? Here you go to make you smile.
All right. Nice. Thank you, Brother Al. Pastor KL, you know, what do you want to tell the listeners about a man's generosity?
Again, be careful, because every gift is not a genuine gift. You know, and I speak from a man. I speak from a man in former life, you know, especially if I don't live there. You know, I don't live there, and we're just dating. I'm trying to get in better every day. So I'm looking at stuff that you need. If you remember, we pray on needy people. We pray on people who just got out of a relationship. We pray on people who's looking for their Boaz. You know, we pray for people who are lonely. So we set you up, and then we make you feel guilty. You know that you got that stove that you got to put it all the way down because it burns everything. You know, if you put it on the regular setting, we gonna buy you a stove. We don't live there. Why am I buying you a stove? You know, you gotta start looking at the gifts. You know, they talk about the jewelry and the this and the that. We don't live together. We're not married. We're not even talking about that. Now, unless my jury is an engagement ring, there is something. I'm expecting a doggy bag somehow. I don't know what we're going to put in the doggy bag, when we're going to get the doggy bag, but the doggy bag is coming. There is no one that's giving up all these wonderful things and not expecting something. So you got to be careful. You need to have this conversation up front. You know, is there an expectation? What is the expectation? Am I willing to give what's expected of me? If not, it's time to move on. Don't get suckered in and then feel guilty that you have not complied or you have not given back the way they want you to give back. Because then what happens is that you just give out of guilt. And that's definitely not a relationship.
Wow. Nice advice, man. Nice advice. Thank you so much for your contribution into today's conversation. Always thought-provoking. Thank you so much, and we pray you have a blessed weekend.
You as well.
You do the same. Pastor Steph, do you need any gadgets? You need any house stuff? I'm going to come check your spoon. I'm going to come check your spoon and see what's going on in that cabinet.
No, you know what? You know, Brother Al, there are a couple of things that I saw, but if one more thing comes in this house, it's already being deferred to the shed. We can't keep stuff in the house because we ain't got no room. When I throw out something, I'm coming for you. I'm going to let you know. You're going to be the first one that knows I need a replacement.
Hey, and let me just tell you this quick. I know we're going, but let me just tell you this real quick, right? Because Tamika laughs at it because I get gadgets. And you can say lazy or whatever. I like things easy. You know how if you got something on the stove and you need to keep stirring it. I don't want to stand over a hot stove stirring. So I found this thing, right? It has like three legs, and it takes batteries. You sit it in the pot, and you turn it on, and it stirs for you. So
you know
what? You ain't got to be standing over a hot stove.
I'm
The three legs turn, and moves around the pot and stirs it for you. You can stir it slow or you stir it fast.
Where's the pleasure in cooking? There's supposed to be
a pleasure. I can be doing something else while that's stirring. I can be doing something else.
The pleasure is eating.
There you go.
Oh my goodness, I've never even heard of a device like that. Oh my goodness.
I'm gonna get a picture and send it to you.
Well, you know what?
And you
thank
might
you
go get it.
For bringing that to my awareness. Wow. Now, Brother Al, I have fibromyalgia. I can't hold up my arms but for so long. But even I'm willing to stir the pot.
That worked good for you. You ain't got to worry about hurting your arms, see?
That takes the pleasure out of the cooking for me. You know what, Brother Al, send me that picture. I would really, you know what, send it to me. We're going to post it on the Facebook page.
Okay.
And maybe some other people might find some use out of this as well.
Okay, will do.
Wait. I got something that just came through. And you guys have got to hear this. She says, what he doesn't tell you is that it gets caught in the corners.
Once in a while I get caught. You know, you give it a little bump and nobody's been.
I'm so mad.
You know, once in a while I get a little stuck in my throat, but you give it a little bump, it goes by business like a bumper car. You're all good.
You know what? I'm done. You need two houses, Brother Al, to hold all the gadgets. No. Oh, my goodness. You guys have a wonderful, wonderful weekend. Thank you so much.
You too. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Oh, all righty. Let's get this benediction. Amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen. Revelation 7:12. Oh, my goodness gracious. You know, and giving God the glory that we can have these kinds of conversations, you know, it's really something that, you know, other people just can't seem to find their way into. In other words, you know, they're just people who just talk about God. Now, you know me. If you've listened to me long enough, you know I ain't short of a word about the Lord. That is for real. However, you know, there's another side to life. And, you know, the slogan for a Closer Walk Christian talk show is, you know, discussing matters of the heart, mind, and spirit. Because, you know, this is a holistic life. This is a holistic lifestyle where, you know, all of these things matter. You know, excuse me, you know, when you talk about, you know, all of the things that we talk about that come across on, you know, in these news stories, you know, where people are, you know, our listeners are even submitting news stories, you know, it's amazing because people want to hear about these things. And I think this is why it goes over so well, because, you know, we're all, you know, in the Lord. You know, you've got the pastors, you've got the elders, you got the deacons, you got the, you know, just the everyday Christian. But other things affect our life, you know, other than what goes on in church. And we have to live in this world. And what we need to understand is we have a responsibility of helping the listeners navigate through life and understand that you don't have to leave the Lord behind. Understand that the Lord should be included in everything, no matter what you're being offered by this world. God has, you know, a remedy. God has an anecdote. God has a way to, you know, even look at it. And how blessed are we? How blessed are we to get up each and every day and to get a little piece of that every single day? And it's at the beginning of the morning, you know, so, you know, everybody can kind of chomp on this as the day goes on. And I deem it a blessing to be able to get from God every day. He's investing in Stephanie every day, and I deem it a privilege to be able to share with you what the Lord is giving me to share with you. You know, sometimes it's going to come across as a laugh. Sometimes it's going to come across as something, you know, direct and hard-hitting. Sometimes it's going to come across as, you know, kind of mild. You know, sometimes it's going to come across through tears. Sometimes it's going to come through shouting, you know. And when I say shouting, I mean just rejoicing in the Lord. We've done that. We've done all. We've had the tears. We've had the laughs. We've had the rejoicing in the Lord. We've had the direct and hard-hitting, you know, preaching, if you will. We've had the mild delivery. So God is prepared to give us every which way but loose to ensure that we have had every opportunity to make it into the kingdom. Now, what kind of God is that? He doesn't just give it to you and walk off. You're getting a babysitting service that a whole lot of people have never known anything about. They don't know anything about it, you know, because all they want to do is go to church, sit there, pay their tithes and offerings, and walk off. You know, it's good enough for them. So, you know, let's make sure, you know, we're accepting God the way He is giving it to us. You know, He can't sugarcoat everything. You know, He's not going to give everything, you know, as though it's milk to a baby when you're old enough to receive the food that He has for you. You know, we can't be 50 and 60 and 70 and still eating baby food because there are no nutrients for us at that age when it's baby food. We have to be nurtured properly in the way that God needs us to be nurtured so that we can receive everything that He has for us, okay? Alrighty. So let's get to getting this thing going. Alrighty? I'm excited. You know, what the Lord gives to us each and every day. And I say, let's partay in the Lord and enjoy it. Okay? So, you know, we had a fantastic week. I encourage you to go back and listen if you've, you know, because you know, you could even have missed something. Even if you were in the party, you could have missed something. All right? Go back and listen. You've been listening to It's Due Time with Pastor Steph. Join us Monday through Friday from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. where we discuss matters of the heart, mind, and spirit. As you go through the day, please be sure to, you know, set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are on the earth, because they will only serve as a distraction. Remember, prayer changes things. It's Pastor Steph signing off, and I want to thank my Due Time crew, our men, for always coming through big time. Thank you for hanging out with us all week and helping us do what we do. Please do not miss this opportunity to give Jesus your life right now. Or develop a stronger relationship with him right now, because later is not promised to us. You know, I will say before I close, you know, for those who may have started with me, you know, on this journey, I used to talk about being a part of, you know, the Honey Girls ministry. And, you know, every morning we pray and so forth and so on, and they're doing other things. And I got, I opened up Facebook the other day, and I don't scroll, so if you got something out there, I really won't see it. But the first thing on the news feed was a picture of two of the Honey Girls. One was the founder, and one was another member. And it said that the founder is now, she passed away, no longer with us. And I was breathless, you know. When I asked, they said that she was making plans to, you know, have a birthday celebration with one of the women and, you know, so forth and so on. And they were waiting to hear from her and to tell them when a good time, a better time was, because she had to cancel for something else. And she said she never heard from her, never got that, you know, that phone call. So this is why I tell you each and every day, you know, give your life to Christ if you haven't. You know, strengthen that relationship with the Lord if you haven't. Because, you know, again, those were her plans, to go out to dinner, to celebrate a birthday. And they said it was just natural causes. She wasn't ill or anything. But tomorrow and later is not promised to us. So make sure you, you know, get yourself together right now, okay? Until Sunday, God spares, where we are opening up the doors to the Word Prayer Project. Let's come on in the room and see what God has us praying about on Sunday. God spares our life. Until then, I love you.